job that ever used to keep you at the dock. Now lay your opportunity to one that never knocked. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William Lozonik, who's a professor of economics and director of the University of Massachusetts Center for Industrial Competitiveness. He is president of the Academic Industry Research Network, and his book, Sustainable Prosperity in the New Economy, Business Organization and High-Tech Employment in the United States, won the 2010 Schumpeter Prize. He has an article at the Huffington Post, Robots Don't Destroy Jobs, Rapacious Corporate Executives Do. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Lozonik.
Hi, good to talk to you again.
And Bill, the Labor Department came out with a report on its jobs report on Friday, saying that the U.S. economy has added 155,000 jobs in December, but that unemployment rate is holding at 7.8%. In your article at the Huffington Post, Robots Don't Destroy Jobs, Rapacious Corporate Executives Do, you make the point that Americans' economy is really about profits without prosperity. Elaborate, if you will.
Okay. I think in general, if companies are making profits, you have a potential for growing jobs, for a growing economy. That's good. And in fact, historically, certainly, I would say up until the 1980s in the United States, post-World War II, when you had profits, the vast majority of workers in the economy gained. And it's pretty simple because companies were reinvesting those profits. They were reinvesting them in plant and equipment and in training people to operate the plant and equipment. And they were giving those people pretty secure employment. You really had a norm at that time in most major corporations of, if you did your job well, you had a career with the company and you didn't have mass layoffs. And all that started to change in the 1980s. And I would say that, we go through cycles and we have things like the Great Recession of a couple years ago, which in some ways is still with us, but there's a long-run problem of creating not only jobs, but good jobs in the United States. So even when you have a situation like you have now, where the some jobs are being created, it's sluggish. Even the jobs that are being created are really not that great. And I would say that it's mainly because corporations, which are very profitable at this point, are just not reinvesting in the U.S. economy in terms of jobs, in terms of innovation, in terms of the kinds of capabilities that you need to have, particularly in a rich economy, to compete globally.
Well, it would seem to me that this last deal that came through, the fiscal cliff deal, that a lot of the press and the politicians are heralding as a good deal, in many ways. It doesn't look to me like it's solving the underlying problem of the unfairness in American society. It's true that the wealthy do pay more taxes back to the Clinton era of 39.6%, but then the Bush tax cuts are still there for people, households under $450,000. But more importantly, the capital gains tax did not go back up to the 39.6, it's only up 5% from 15% to 20, and that's how the wealthy basically make their money and avoid their taxes. So, and if you combine that with corporate America sitting on all this cash, which they hide abroad or hide in the Cayman Islands, and how executives and CEOs buy back stock in order to improve their positions and make themselves more wealthy, but instead of investing in these corporate funds in R&D and new products and new factories and hiring workers, isn't that the real picture that we've got here in America?
So I think that in many ways, the unwillingness of the corporate elite to pay what you might call their fair share of taxes, to actually support a progressive tax structure, reflects what's going on from their positions within corporations. I think when corporate executives, and don't want to over glorify the good old days, but I think there was a time when corporate executives saw keeping their people employed, expanding employment, expanding the kinds of products and processes they're producing. They tended to recognize that you had to have government support to invest in infrastructure. You had to have government for support for education. You had to have a whole bunch of things that their corporations, not just them individually, but the corporations as a whole, really required to do business. And I think since now, they have been really much more focused on really, in a sense, taking money out of those corporations rather than putting money into them for their own gain. You know, it follows that they want to get as low tax rate as possible. They really just do not have any broader interests in mind other than their own interests. And, of course, one of the things that I have been writing about for a long time, which you mentioned, is, okay, they're making lots of profits. What are they doing? A lot of what they're doing with their profits is buying back stock for the S&P 500 or the top 500 companies, about 75% of the market capitalization of the U.S. Stock markets. Over the last decade, probably around 55% of their profits were spent just buying back their own company stock, which is basically just trying to manipulate the stock price. I argue the main reason they do this is because in a context where corporations are become evaluated and top executives have been willing to allow themselves to be evaluated by their stock price, the corporate executives themselves make out very well in terms of their pay, mainly because the biggest components of their pay have to do with stock-based compensation, particularly stock options.
So in other words, the financialization of the U.S. economy continues, and this these buyback options game goes on in corporate America. And meanwhile, where are the jobs going to come from in the future?
Well, okay, so I think it's something like 83% of jobs come from the corporate sector, another 11% from the government sector, and then the rest is self-employment. So if businesses don't invest and create jobs, then we have a big problem. Now, one of the things in the article you mentioned that I criticize, and it was reflected in an article written earlier in the month by Paul Krugman in the New York Times called Robots and Robber Barons, where he really accepted the argument that automation displaces jobs, and on first sight it sounds like that makes sense. In fact, it's not the case. That's something that has been used really an excuse for not looking at what the real problems are. When companies invest in automation, as I argue in my article, there's all kinds of other employment that is created, even if certain jobs are lost or certain parts of certain jobs are lost. Because obviously automation does automate away certain tasks, and those jobs can be created in actually producing the robots, producing the machines that are part of the automation process. Their jobs are created because companies that invest in automation have to make good on that investment. They have to get more supplies. They have to manage the process. They have to expand to cover the cost of this to get global markets. So they build up organizations that employ lots of people doing lots of things. And in fact, this is a platform for them moving into new types of services, new types of products that they wouldn't have been able to do without automation. The other thing is that a lot of the automation that's going on now is for jobs that nobody could have ever done. And so it's if you really, particularly in aero and nanotechnology, you make investments in new technology, you're creating things that products and processes that the economy wasn't capable of even thinking of producing before. And so you have to have investment in new technology. You have to have investment in all the capabilities of people that both implement and develop and utilize those technologies. And if you do that, you're going to be much better off. So that's not the problem. The problem is, in fact, we don't have enough of that type of investment in the United States. And as I said, the other side of this, there's plenty of profits to make that investment. So that's not the problem. The problem is the way those resources are being allocated by corporate executives and the incentives that they have to allocate them in ways that just give short-term boosts to stock price, benefit themselves, but don't benefit the economy as a whole.
Again, I'm speaking with William Lozonik, who's a professor of economics and director of the University of Massachusetts' Center for Industrial Competitiveness. He's the president of the Academic Industry Research Network and the author of Sustainable Prosperity in the New Economy, Business Organization and High-Tech Employment in the United States, which won the 2010 Schumpeter Prize. He also has an article at the Huffington Post, Robots Don't Destroy Jobs, Rapacious Corporate Executives Do. So it would seem to me that, William Lozonik, that, you know, we are definitely drifting towards a plutonomy and a rule by an oligarchy who aren't necessarily invested in the United States. They're a part of a kind of global elite, and I'm not sure that they care particularly about the American people, and the fact that so much of their money is sitting in these places like the Cayman Islands says a lot. And obviously the notion of their excuse has always been this new global competitive environment that we have because of globalism, which essentially become an excuse for the fact that they're just cutting loose their fellow Americans and throwing them away as though they were disposable. What can be done to create a new kind of economic patriotism?
Well, yeah. So it's an interesting question because, we saw this in the Mitt Romney campaign, you know, someone who, running for president, who I would say probably is as patriotic as anyone else, but who actually made his fortune largely, not entirely, but largely by taking over companies, laying people off, and stripping out as much money as possible for Bain Capital and its principals, and including himself. Now, so the problem in many ways is that the people who say they know what to do for the U.S. economy, top executives, and often are and probably might be very genuinely patriotic, have this view, which is very self-serving at the same time, that what their companies do has nothing to do with how the economy performs in terms of job creation, in terms of investment. And I don't talk about this in terms of fairness. I talk about this in terms of competitiveness. If those companies are not investing in the labor force, if they're not investing in new products and processes, if they're not investing in innovation, then the United States over the long term cannot be competitive. And what they actually are doing are they're living off the gains of past success in many cases rather than investing for the future. So it's not, you know, what makes it even worse in a sense is that those are the people who not just the Republicans turn to, but the Democrats turn to say, well, what can we do about the economy? You know, you just look at the case of the Jobs Council that President Obama created, I guess, about 2 years ago around this time, totally stacked with, think of 26 people, 24 were corporate types, most of them top executives, and chaired by Jeffrey Immelt, who would claim that he's as patriotic as anybody else, and maybe he is, but from his point of view, the company that he heads, General Electric, as it does, buys back $10 billion of its stock in a year to boost its stock price, that's just fine. That's the way you do business, and that can't be the way you do business. That money should be used to support the government investment in the next round of new technologies. It should be supporting keeping experienced people at places like General Electric employed, finding ways in which their human capital can be preserved and be made useful, and investing much more deeply than they do in the technologies of the future. Those same corporate executives, while they're doing this as corporate executives, actually are constantly turning to the government and saying, we want you to subsidize our companies even more by investing in these new technologies. So they would like that investment to be made, but they aren't willing, as they have to, if it's going to get done, to shoulder a big part of that investment themselves. They want to foist it all on the taxpayers. And then when it comes time to, and they're making profits, and you think, okay, the taxpayers can get a return here. They say, no, we need even lower tax rates if we're going to make these investments.
Well, William Lozonik, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Okay, thanks.
Again, I've been speaking with William Lozonik, who's a professor of economics and director of the University of Massachusetts Center for Industrial Competitiveness. He is the president of the Academic Industry Research Network, and his book, Sustainable Prosperity in the New Economy, Business Organization and High-Tech Employment in the United States, won the 2010 Schumpeter Prize. He has an article at the Huffington Post, Robots Don't Destroy Jobs, Rapacious Corporate Executives Do. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And the conversation continues at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. An angel sung about the home of the brave and this land here under the free. One time, one night in America. A lady dressed in white with a man she loved. The headline written down.